Welcome to Jags and Jack, where it's always Duval till I die, and the bar never closes. Here are your hosts, Cade Stevens and Eric Vincent.
Ooh-wee. Welcome back to another episode of Jags and Jack, ladies and gentlemen. Eric Vincent alongside my casual acquaintance, best friend, extraordinaire, Cade Stevens. What's going on, Cade?
Anyways, the probably, I'm doing good. I'm doing good, honestly.
Yeah.
I don't know any better way to start this, to talk about this particular subject after, you know, ever the optimism that flowed through the off season, through the preseason and leading into week one was, at an all time high. And, it came crashing down in dramatic fashion on Sunday. So here we are to try to put a couple pieces together and move on and talk a little bit about what needs to be done to right the ship in week two. Aside from that, Eric, how are you?
The way you presented that to me, I'm sorry, I just could not keep a straight face, you know, just doom and gloom, the sky is falling, yeah. We're feeling like shit here today, and then, hey, how are you doing?
Of course, yeah, I mean, the doom and gloom, there's plenty to be had, and, you know, there's, I won't say it's not warranted, you know, like, I'm not going to tell somebody who's feeling that type of way not to, because, you know, they're entitled to feel the way that they want to feel, especially after the outing that we had this last week. And I wrote an article that I'm going to start doing once a week to go along with the show. That is a good read if you are one of those people that's feeling the doom and gloom, or if you're wondering why these people are annoying the hell out of you. It's also a little helpful there. So we'll link it in the episode where you can find those each week as well. But moving on from that.
We're great about curbing expectations around here, right?
Exactly.
Like we're just curbing things. Like, okay, we're not on this side. We're not on that side. We're like a happy, like one way or the other, maybe just a little bit.
It's true. And I have the tendency to sometimes get a little ahead of myself and get excited. Sometimes overly excited, and I try to temper the expectations, but sometimes it gets to me. I don't know. I can't say that our predictions going into this game were far off from what anybody else was saying. I don't think anybody expected it to go the way that it did. And there was you're going to have a lot to choose from here, but, first thing I'll shoot at you is, give me what was one of your biggest takeaways from this game, I guess.
Lots to choose from, man. Lots to choose from.
Yeah, you can. How about we split it this way? You give me a positive and give me a negative, and you can do it in any order that you want.
Okay. All right, we can do that. So, we'll start with the negatives because that's going to be the easy one. Negative for me was that we just looked sloppy. It was an overall sloppy game, and that's the only word that I think I can use to describe it, and I've heard it used several different times with, you know, local media, national media, national media, they're going to trash us anyway, so. But overall, yeah, it was just a very sloppy game, and, you would expect it from a rookie head coach in the National Football League, coming from the college ranks, but not with this particular staff, because it's a happy little hybrid, right, of coaches that have had bountiful NFL experience and guys that have been successful in the college ranks as well, including Urban Meyer. So the fact that on our first drive, we had to call a timeout because our guys weren't set up right, that just set the tempo for the rest of the game. And you're watching it unfold, and you're just seeing, hell, even one of the touchdown plays that we had, shout out to Jeff Logman from Jaguars Media Network for pointing this out, but the touchdown that we had to Chark in the end zone should have been called back. I think that was in the, I think it might have been in the second half, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah,
third-ish quarter, I think.
Yep. And, there was an illegal formation again, him and Visca were both on the line when they shouldn't have been. And by the grace of God, the referees, the Zebras, did not see it, and we got some points on the board. But even that one there, even when we were doing something good, we fucked something up, you know, pardon my French. And, you know, Plays and Germs is going to be one of those type of episodes. Cover the children's ears a little bit. It's going to be explicit because we're both a little frustrated with how things have gone through 1 week. So we're going to go ahead and air those frustrations a little bit here today. But that would be the overall negative for me, is that we were just sloppy. We looked like a college team coming out week zero playing against Umpty Squat State. You know, it just didn't look like a pro team at all. Even teams like Green Bay. Like, Green Bay got their asses handed to them by the Saints. And that's with an MVP quarterback. But even then, like, you watch their game, they at least looked like they had some friggin' clue as to where to go, where to line up, what plays they're running, the whole shooting match. Us, we looked like Umpty Squat State. We didn't look like a professional team at all. It was absolutely demoralizing to watch when that was what played out through the course of the entire game. Now, I will say, moving to the positive piece of it, the positive piece of it is I do believe that we have found our franchise quarterback. I think this guy is no joke. Trevor Lawrence, he's going to have his highs. He's going to have his lows. He's a rookie quarterback. It's just going to happen. However, were there a couple misreads that he had on Sunday? Absolutely. There were a couple plays you're just looking at and you're like, yeah, it looks like a rookie quarterback. And then there are other plays, specifically the touchdown plays, and we talked about this before we got on the recording, that his touchdown passes were crisp. Those passes are unlike anything we have ever seen in a Jaguars uniform, possibly since Mark Brunell, honestly. And the fact that he can throw the football and he can manufacture things so masterfully, that we're going to see that for years to come, I think, as long as the front office doesn't completely screw it all up. But, I do believe that we might have found our QB1 for the foreseeable future.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. He did some absolutely wonderful things as far as keeping his eyes downfield, moving the defense. He did make a few, poor throws, to be expected with a rookie quarterback. I think anybody who had expectations of him coming in here and playing like prime Brady or Manning day one, yes, he is probably been one of the most hyped up quarterbacks maybe of all time coming out of college, but completely unreal expectation. And sometimes it was fun to think about that as a potential possibility, like, hey man, maybe he comes in here, really slings it around, doesn't make too many mistakes, and it's not realistic, especially considering the fact that I don't think he had a ton of help downfield. So the receivers did make some really impressive catches, but at the same time there were a few that were catchable. They get paid good money to make these catches, maybe a little behind, maybe a little in front. But you got to help your quarterback out a little bit. And there was just no momentum at all. Like, I don't think at any point some of the big plays that came late, they were already out of it. The touchdown early to Chris Manhertz, his lone catch of the day for 22 yards into the end zone, they were still within a score at that point. I believe that made it 14-7. But after that, it was pretty much downhill sledding at the hands of their own work, mental mistakes, bad, that's on the coaching, in my opinion. Yeah. I don't think the players are as bad as they played on Sunday. I really don't. I think that the coaching has got to have them more prepared. Communication was a big problem, in my opinion. I don't necessarily think that the game plan that they went out with was bad. I think that there was a huge lack of balance in the passing game and run game, where predominantly, passive football. And the run game was not, it wasn't bad. They averaged 5 yards a carry yes, Carlos Hyde got more carries than James Robinson, but when he did get the ball, he was effective. So I can't argue who gets it as long as they're running the ball well. I just think they didn't do too much of it early on. And I think Bevel said at one point during the week that the early penalties played a factor into changing the game plan, but he did Also, you know, say that they got to find a way to find more balance. So that was a big part of it as well. But the mental stuff, they got to get cleaned up. I think we talked about this, you know, off air, obviously. But that was, for me, probably the most disappointing thing about the entire game was the mental errors, especially considering Urban Meyer has always been known very well for his attention to detail in the college ranks. Throughout his years of winning and national championships, it's been the attention to detail, and it seemed like that is exactly what was missing in the game against Houston.
Right, and that was my point exactly, was that, you know, he is such a stickler for detail. At least that's what you've been told, that's what you hear. You listen to the man speak, and very clearly he is a stickler for paying attention to the X's and O's, making sure every T is crossed, every I is dotted. But then you're looking at week one, and it just didn't happen. There were just overall, the little stuff, like I said, it looked like umpty squat state, week zero of the college football season. That's what it looked like. And that's very alarming for Jaguars fans, especially because, and again, I texted you this. It's like your ex-girlfriend. It's like a girlfriend getting burned by the ex-boyfriend or vice versa, you know, multiple times over and over again. You just don't want to hurt anymore. And that's what we're running into right here, is that you keep having faith. You keep keeping the faith, and you find some way to get disappointed again. And you're like, oh, well, here we go again. What do we do?
Yep.
And, you know, I'll piggyback off of one more thing before we kind of move on to the next topic. But, you know, listening to Jaguars Media Network, specifically Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, he harped on this a couple different episodes, actually, early in the week, thanks to some callers that had called in and, you know, were voicing their frustrations. And one particular caller had called in, I think it was Monday's show, and he was basically just saying, hey, you know, I appreciate that the guys in the locker room are saying, you know, in the press conferences and whatnot, they're saying, okay, it's we just got to go out and execute. We just got to go out and do our jobs and, you know, take care of the little things, yada, yada. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we've been hearing the same old tune for decades, it seems.
Yeah.
I mean,
about 20 years, I think.
Right, like, go out and friggin' do it, man. Like, what the hell is stopping you? Go out and execute. You know, we're tired of hearing the same stupid, you know, mouthpiece, basically. Oh, we got to go out and execute. We just didn't have that out there on the field today, and we were just out-coached. Okay, great, so fucking do something about it. Like, what are you guys saying? That's the one piece of, like, all the press conferences that they had, because you heard it from several different players and coaches, and you're just throwing your hands up like, guys, like, come on.
Yeah.
Come on. No. Same old stuff.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. It's a really good point. We're tired of hearing it, more or less, but yeah. So we'll go ahead and segue off of that, you know, since we kind of talked about everything that went wrong. And, you know, if they want a chance at winning this week in Denver, home first game in Jacksonville of the season, home opener against the Denver Broncos.
Yes.
1 o'clock, it's going to be probably warm, I have to imagine, in Duval County, Florida. They obviously messed a lot of things up last week. What's something they can do that will give them a shot at being competitive in this game?
I mean, other than the obvious, you know, fix the little stuff, you know, making sure that you're lined up properly. And again, one more thing, and I'll leave it alone. This is a rule universal across the board, from Pee Wee all the way up to the pro level, lining up on the line. And you've got two guys that are supposed veterans on this team that did not, in Visca and Chark, and they both didn't realize that we're both on the line. Maybe one of us should back off. No, you back off. No, you back off. You know, something, anything. Anyway, leaving it alone. I'm frustrated with it. But, yeah, other than the little stuff to kind of tweak like that, pass rush, it looked okay. It needs to be better. Kalyvon Chaisson needs to look more like a pro and not like, you know, the week one rookie.
That was something that was crazy to me. And just a real quick jump in, because you're right where you need to be for me to say this, is believe it or not, the Jags in week one, I believe we're number one in the NFL in pressures, but we only got home one time. And yeah, part of that was just not finishing. The finish wasn't there. Chaisson, actually, he looked a lot better than obviously he had last year and probably even what some of us expected. But the finish for him was he's missing Tyrod Taylor, who, I mean, come on, the guy's he can move a little bit, but it, you know, I know. I also realize he's not a statue, but you got to finish. You got to finish.
Well, and the fact that you got beat twice on one play by the same guy is just mind-boggling.
Sad.
Yeah. So, you know, I get it. He did look much better than we have seen from him, but overall, man, like if you were brought in, you were drafted to be one of the answers to this pass rush problem, and you are creating more of a headache than you are solving it. So that's going to be huge, the pass rush. And the secondary. The secondary was disappointing as hell last week. You know, you go and you bring in big-name guys like Shaq Griffin, Rayshon Jenkins. You draft a guy like Andre Sisco, who we didn't see all that much, really, in the secondary week one. You know, and you talk up this secondary in the offseason like, okay, this is one of the stronger units on our defense. And then you look at it, and you've got Tyrod Taylor tossing the rock around the field like it's, you know, after school on a playground. It boggles the mind. It really doesn't make any sense. So I do think the little things need to be tuned up on offense, lining up, routes being run crisper, things like that. On defense, got to be more aware. Like, we talked about this before we got in, 50-50 balls in week one. If some of those 50-50, even one or two of them, were handled by the secondary rather than us getting mossed on literally every 50-50 ball, that game is different. The Texans game is so much different. So secondary's got to do better.
Yeah, wholeheartedly agree. And probably my biggest thing that I'll throw in there, because I feel like it's a blanket for almost everything that you probably said, is communication. I think every mistake that was made, not everyone maybe, but the vast majority of the mistakes that were made offensively and defensively, both on the back end and both on offense with not getting lined up properly, is communication. And offensively, I think as Trevor gets more comfortable and gets more experience, he's the guy who's going to be correcting them and making sure that, because you've seen good quarterbacks and veteran quarterbacks over the years. I won't even necessarily say good. I mean, you know, solid, veteran, experienced quarterbacks over the years know where their guys are supposed to be, and they're getting them in place. And I'm not putting that on him now. I think that's too much to do, because he's still learning the offense himself and getting comfortable in the NFL. But I think as time goes on, you're going to see him start to do that.
You'll see him act like more of a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning out there and be like, no, dumbass, over here.
Yes.
Sit over here.
Agreed. You'll see it. You'll see it before the season's over. When exactly, I couldn't tell you for sure, but I think you'll start to see that. But communication as a whole was a giant breakdown in week one offensively and defensively. And that's something that if they can fix that this week, and you can't tell me that that's not going to be the primary focus, because I just have a very strong feeling that that's going to be it. Then I think that they can be competitive. I don't necessarily expect them to beat Denver, but I think they can be competitive. I think Denver's defense played soft last week. I think the corners were off. I think they can take advantage of that. But we'll talk about that here more so in a second. I wanted to wrap up the issues they were having, but,
well, and just real quick before we move on, that's because you harped on it right there. That's what we were looking for coming into this season. We didn't expect them to make the playoffs coming in year one. We wanted them to be competitive. And seeing one game in the regular season in the Urban Meyer, Trevor Lawrence era, we were not even remotely competitive. So that's where the frustration kind of lies with a lot of people in the media, the fans, so on and so forth.
Agreed. Yeah, I think that's where everybody was kind of ready to jump off of the proverbial bridge after the game was over, or even potentially by halftime, because it wasn't looking too good at that point either. As we more than anything expected to be competitive, especially against Houston. I know there was a lot of drama, obviously, surrounding them coming into the game and throughout the entire offseason. But they definitely looked like the much more prepared football team on Sunday, and they definitely came out with the result looking the same. So, yeah, wrap up that communication, and I think that they have a good opportunity to be competitive against Denver this week. So before we get into the home opener and what to expect, I think that we owe the folks, we did chat a little last week about what our predictions were going to be for Trevor's stat line. I just wanted to take a gander at those numbers and see who may have been closer. And so just a recap, Eric's prediction was just over 300 yards, looking at 60% completion, 2 touchdowns, 1 interception. I said 290 yards, 65%, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. Both of us were kind of close in a couple of different categories. I said 3 touchdowns, but I missed 2 interceptions. Eric said 60% completion percentage, and he was definitely closer than me, as unfortunately 54.9 for Trevor in the game, which is not the goal you're shooting for these days. We saw plenty of 50% games with Blake Bortles over the years, and I think we've had enough of that. But yeah, not too far off, man. 332 yards. His final stat line, 28 for 51. 54.9% completion percentage, 332 yards, 3 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, quarterback rating of 70.1, average of about 6.5 per clip. Not too terrible, but like I said, and like we talked about early on, you know, we saw some really good things. We also saw some opportunities for growth, but I'm not sure what everybody else's picks were out there, but we weren't entirely too far off. We'll see. And maybe throw one more prediction at you and towards the end of the episode and see how it turns out for week two, now that maybe we have a better idea on what to expect.
I don't think anyone really could have predicted that Trevor was going to throw 51 times or we're going to hand the ball off 15 times. Like, that ratio is so far off.
Yeah, that's not at all what you want with a rookie quarterback, no matter how talented he is. If you throw the ball 50 times per game for 17 games over the season, and I mean, the poor guy by the end, he's ice on his arm every week, so we don't want that. We would prefer to preserve our guy and get some balance going. So speaking of balance, you know, 1-0 Broncos team. Nice victory for them last week. I think it was a little more decisive than maybe I expected it to be going into the game. What can we expect from the home opener? Like, what is going to be different that we can expect, I guess, against Denver over Houston?
Well, Denver's a much better looking team than the Texans, at least on the surface. Just because you know of, you know, some of these guys that are over there, like, you know, Teddy Two Gloves, he's starting quarterback. You know, you got Bradley Chubb down the line. Von Miller's going to be coming back for this game here in Jacksonville coming up week two. So, you know, you've got some dudes on that defense and on the offense, and, you know, they won't be with Jerry Jeudy, which is definitely a good thing for us. Because I mean, he's a big time threat. But they still got Cortland Sutton. They've got KJ Hamler, even Tim Patrick. They're in their wide receiver group there. Really, really good wide receivers. Their offensive line has been looking good. It's gonna be tough, man. It's gonna be tough. I think the recipe for success is gonna be to run the football, run it early and often, establish the run. And then at that point, you can kind of pick and choose what you want to do at that point. Because I do think this secondary, there's some opportunities there in the secondary. Patrick Surtain, he's a rookie. Kyle Fuller, he's okay. Justin Simmons, good safety. Kareem Jackson, decent safety. So at least kind of there. Von Miller is more of a rushing linebacker. Same thing with Bradley Chubb. Otherwise, you got a bunch of guys in the middle. You're kind of like, I don't know who these guys are. As far as that defensive backfield goes. So, you know, I would run the football, establish the run, and then move to the passing attack a little bit more and see if, you know, Trevor can kind of get his feet wet. But I'm not overall optimistic. Again, I'm kind of with you. I will hope that we stay competitive. I'm not going to expect we stay competitive, but I'm hoping that we stay competitive in week two.
Yeah, that's a fair expectation. And I think that, you know, if they came out and stayed competitive and lost towards the end, but were never really out of it, then I think that we would take that as a good sign of progress. Yes. I don't think anybody would be too upset about it. There's going to be your 1% out there who probably still freak out despite a good game anyways, but that's beside the point. Going into this one, I mean, you know, nail on the head. As far as those rushers on the edge go, Bradley Chubb, Von Miller, there's got to be some sort of success in the run game, and it's got to happen early because you cannot give those guys an opportunity to start teeing off on your quarterback, especially if you put yourself in third and long situations. So the run game is going to be extremely important this week. They cannot continue to let themselves stare at third and long, or they're gonna get our number one pick killed, and that's not an ideal situation either. So I think they need to establish the run, get themselves in third and short situations, work the play action, take what's there. You know, Trevor spoke in his press conference earlier in the week talking about how he needs to use his mobility more and needs to be smart about it. Urban said the same thing. I mean, the thought in the Houston game, just based off some of the decisions that he made, was that he had been told not to run and to protect himself, and that was not at all the case. I think it was just more along the lines of those first game jitters, and you weren't sure when was the right time and when wasn't the right time. And I think maybe knocking that out a little will have him feeling a little bit more confident. You know,
he's learning to trust his instincts. That's all it is.
Agreed.
I truly, and I'm with you, I truly don't believe this coaching staff was like, no, stay in the pocket, do not go anywhere. You know, that's high school BS right there. Like that doesn't happen at the pro level where they're just like, no, you're gonna stay in the pocket. You know, maybe with some guy, maybe with some coaches, I guess.
I'm sure.
But yeah, you know, run my system. That I don't know. It seems like more of a college outlook. Like, oh, this is my system, you know, run it this way, yada, yada. I don't think at the pro level they're really interested in, oh, well, that didn't look exactly like I drew it up, so I'm going to get pissy with you and you're going to be running gassers till I puke sort of thing. So,
yeah, you know. I agree. Yeah, I don't think that's the case at all. All they really want him to do is, if he's going to run, is to protect himself. They don't want to see what we saw in game two of the preseason against the Saints, where he's leaping head first for a first down.
No.
If the playoffs are on the line, then maybe that's a different story. But I don't think that's what they want to see. They just want him to protect himself. The rules are out there for quarterbacks to be able to protect themselves. And I think that he'll do just fine doing that. Like you said, it's going to be a trust your instincts kind of thing. And I think he'll be just fine. And I'll flip it over to the defensive side of the ball to go with that. You know, Denver did a really solid job running the football last week. Melvin Gordon, you know, averaging over 9 yards a carry, 11 carries, 101 yards, and he got in the end zone. The long was 70, but still, we cannot afford to let him out of the cage, I guess, so to speak, like that. The entire team, I mean, they averaged about 6 yards a carry. That's no good. We did pretty good last week. We did. They're stable of running backs. Despite you know, looking at the score, they were also able to toss the ball through the air no problem, which probably didn't help the situation. But
certainly not.
Yeah, we held Houston under 3.7 yards average per carry last week, so that run defense did carry over a bit from the preseason, and we hope to see an improvement on that again against Denver because they're going to need it. You know, definitely a little bit more successful running attack for the Denver Broncos in week one against the New York Giants. So, that's going to be a big one for me. Stop the run and run the ball. And I know I sound like an old 90s coach here. Stop the run, run the ball, and you can, you know, win any game out there. But that's honestly, I think, is going to be a really big factor in the success this week, is they got to find that balance and they got to keep Denver off balance.
Well, and on the defensive side, everything's got to be in front of you, right? You know, it's Teddy Two Gloves he's a check down Charlie. He's not going to throw the deep ball, you know. He's just not that type of quarterback. So in the passing game, everything in front of you. In the run game, everything in front of you. You know, obviously don't get lured into these, you know, play action plays so that he can, you know, take an easy one over the top of you. But overall, like, that's going to be the method for success, I believe, in this game, is just keeping everything in front of you and make sure that you don't make sure they don't break your contain. keep everything in front of you, make sure that it limits to 5 yards or less, somewhere around there, and we'll be golden. But, I mean, again, that's why you have playmakers. That's why they make all these millions of dollars, because, you know, they make these defenses look silly. It sounds easy, but it's not.
Exactly. Exactly. But, yeah, I mean, I'm still excited. I think there's a lot to look forward to. I think that it's just week one. We're going to be okay. So on that note, let me ask you this, and I'll ask you this to kind of end on, and then I got one more question. We'll do just a quick prediction on the game at the end. But before we do our prediction, let's not overreact. Why don't you give the fans something they can be optimistic about moving forward?
Well, I touched on it, our first little piece that we did. You know, we've got our quarterback of the future. There is no doubt in my mind after seeing him play week one there. Like, yes, there were a couple of throws, especially the interceptions. You're looking at it and you're like, oh, that looked like a rookie. But overall, especially the touchdown throws, guy looked like he's going to be a good quarterback for years to come. So that in and of itself is already miles better than what we've had in seasons past. Coaching staff, they'll get it under control. I still have confidence in Urban Meyer's staff. I don't believe all the hype about, oh, he's, you know, looking over his shoulder. Oh, USC is open. Oh, he's going to go out to Southern Cal and, you know, lead the Trojans. No, don't believe any of that. He's here. He would not have come here if he didn't believe that he could build something here in Jacksonville. Otherwise, he could have just sat in his comfy little Fox studio and analyzed the stupid college football game, and life would have been good. And then USC came a call, and, oh, yeah, sure, I'll go ahead and I'll coach the Trojans. It makes zero sense. It's the same tired argument as, you know, the Jags are going to London. What sense would that make at this point? It just really wouldn't make any sense at all. So put that to bed. He's not going anywhere. He'll get this fixed. His coaching staff will get this fixed. You know, we have plenty of optimism here early on because, again, it's just one game. It is one game. We've got 16 more of these. So if you guys are ready to flip tables and jump off ledges right now, oh, good God, just you know, dial it back just a little bit, okay? Save something for a little bit later on in the season.
Say it louder for the people in the back.
Say it with your chest. Say it with your chest.
It's just one game.
It's one
just
game.
Just one game. Well, you know, now if we get four or five of these in a row, then we'll be singing a different tune come week
then
five.
Then we'll have problems. Yes, then we'll have problems.
But you know what? We'll cross that bridge when we get there. We'll cross that bridge when we
get there. If we get there. If we get there.
Exactly. Yeah, there's, I mean, two words for optimism, Trevor Lawrence. You know,
yes.
Like that's all I need to hear. That's all you need to hear. You know, there's lots of young guys on this roster that are going to develop and who are going to be just fine. And I think that I think this team will be just fine. I just think it's going to be a steady growth over the weeks. So, you know, we'll see it. We'll see it happen. And when it clicks and when it all comes together, I think it's going to be a lot of fun to watch. But with that being said, give me your final score prediction for the Jacksonville Jaguars home opener against the Denver Broncos coming up this Sunday.
It's tough to really say exactly how this is going to go. Just because, you know, I feel like the Giants are in a very similar position that we are roster-wise, where they don't really quite know what they're doing. They've got a brand-new coach. They're trying to figure out what they're going to do. And, you know, the Broncos looked pretty good against them. It was still only a one-point win, but they looked pretty good overall, especially on offense. And obviously on defense, too, you're holding 16 points. Under 20 points, you're pretty much going to win the game in the NFL. Like, that's how it goes. So I think it's going to be close. It is going to be very, very close. Optimistically speaking, I'm saying that, you know, we'll probably golly, man. Like, the hopeful part in my brain is like, oh, no, we're going to come in. We're going to go 1-1, and, you know, it's all going to be gravy at this point. But the realist part of me is like, man, it's Denver. Like, they've got some dudes. They've got some dudes.
That they do.
So I think Denver will end up winning it, but it'll probably be a less than a touchdown game, honestly. I truly think that after seeing the debacle that week one was against a clearly inferior Houston team, I think this coaching staff is going to whip this team into shape. Dave Vermeil might pull something out their ass and win this game. Who knows? But the realist in me, and that's who's speaking right now, Denver's going to win this ball game, but it will be a much more competitive game than we saw on Sunday against Houston.
Yeah, I think so too. Give me a score.
Final score, we'll go 24-20.
24-20. I'm in that same kind of ballpark there. And I agree with you. I think it'll be better. I think that if they struggle early to run the ball and they cannot stop the pass rush, I think it can get ugly really fast. I don't think that's going to happen. I think that they will play better. I think they will kind of rebound a little bit and show that they are responding to the coaching that they're receiving, and hopefully silence the critics just a little bit. But I'm with you. I think Denver comes out on top on this one. I think it's going to be more interesting than we think, and I'm going to say the Broncos win 28-24 over the Jags with a last-minute touchdown.
Okay. All right. I like that. I can support that. Because, again, you know, all we want at this point is just to look like an NFL team. We just want everybody to stop laughing at us. Like, we're not that bad. We really aren't. But when you go out and you play like that against Houston, yeah, you deserve the last spot in the power rankings because you looked like trash.
Yeah. Yeah. More. They deserve it. They deserve it. We can't argue with any of it. So, all righty. Well, with that being said, we look forward to it. Ah, yes, yes.
This is Jags and Jack, fucker, okay? We've got a drink of the week every time, okay? You know this.
It's true. It is true.
So what are you sipping on, man?
Just regular old. I mean, I feel like I've been pretty plain Jane boring, but just regular old Jack Daniels, man, on the rocks.
That's all right. That's all right. That's a great sipper there. Me, on the other hand, you know me. I like to be exotic at times. Last night I had gin and tonic for the first time in I don't know how long, man. That was my go-to drink in college before I discovered Jack Daniels, and whew, thank God I discovered Jack Daniels. But right now, no, they've actually got Bud Light. They put out a fall flannel variety pack of their seltzers, and you know me, man, I like the seltzies. All right, it started off with the claws and it just kind of progressed from there, so, and I'm a big fan of the seltzies, don't hate. And this one I'm sipping on, it's the toasted marshmallow flavor, which you're thinking about and you're like, okay, this seems a little off. Like that wouldn't taste very good, right? It's actually quite tasty.
Interesting.
Quite tasty. Very highly recommend you go and pick that up. By the way, not sponsored at all. Don't come after us, Bud Light.
If they want to sponsor us, that's fine too. Though.
Exactly. We're okay with that. But no, not an ad. just enjoy their seltzers.
Free plug.
Free plug.
Yes, sir. Well, that being said, we will be back at you again next week, recapping this upcoming game against the Broncos and getting ready for the following week's matchup, week 3. Here's to hoping that things are a little bit better and we got a little bit more of a positive outlook on that one. We will once again link in both the episode description, and if you find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, anywhere you listen to podcasts, in the description for the show, you'll find links to our Discord. It's been awfully quiet. You know, come, interact with us. It's always a lot of fun. You'll find links to Facebook, and you will find a new link in there as well to where I'll be putting out just a little bit of writing each week on what's transpiring. So, with that being said, Eric, how about we throw a little Duval out there?
Yes, sir.
Thank you so much for listening. Stay up to date with Jags and Jack on social media and Discord. See you next week.